Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you guys. Yes, it is. It is, yes. I hope I am on. Yes. Maybe you can give me a little more voice. But we're going to get started. A few announcements. On your bulletin, you've got the Iron's Men breakfast. That is for next week. I do know now that I cannot be there. And so for those of you guys that are going, you will have to work out a ride somehow because I cannot be a part of that because I have a meeting that morning that I must attend. We'll see. We'll work on that. But in the meantime, work on transportation because if something else doesn't work out, just giving you a heads up. The prayer requests continue to have prayer requests on it, we've also got some praises too. So, but keep those in mind. Pray with the people that we've put down on there. Praise with them. I don't know if Tracy added it, but. January 13th, she did put it on there for, most of you probably heard, but Tracy went and dropped Luke off, and so our transition begins today. Our transition begins today. So, and he ships out tomorrow for boot camp, so. And so does his transition, yes.
And he is so ready.
He is ready, so. And we're confident God's on the move there, so it's okay. So, but let's get started, and let's sing. Amen? Stand with me.
Okay. I do gotta say that Luke was allowed to take one thing, and it was an address book. I went through and I put scripture throughout all of it. Because if that's the one thing he can have, I want him to have that.
Amen.
Thanks, my baby.
Good job.
Yep. But I think I'm hot.
Caught a glimpse of your splendor in the corner of my eye, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was like a flash of lightning reflected off the sky, and I know I'll never be the same.
Show me your love.
Show me your glory. That's what we're seeking today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture reading comes out of Proverbs 16:3. Read with me. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Amen. Well, let's move right into our next song, which is Ancient Words.
That's a burp.
I love this song. This song is so true. Because no matter what goes on, His word is always true, no matter what. They're the same today, yesterday, and forever.
See, We're going to take up offering at this time. So if I could have a couple ushers. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to just gather and share. And Father, as we prepare to give back, we just pray that you'll continue to move and work and glorify your kingdom, Father, for that is our goal. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open up my
Misty.
Oh, come on. You wish that word.
Some days. Turn to Psalm with me. Psalm 37:5 to be exact. And I'm going to give you a head start too. We're also going to Proverbs 16. But Psalm 37:5, that's where we're going to start. Say amen when you're there. Uh-oh, Tracy beat us. Psalm 37. Tracy, won't you read 37 verse 5 then?
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he will do this.
All right. And then Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
Go for it, Anita, will you? Commit to the Lord, and he will establish. Amen. Well, you guys can go ahead and take a seat. That's where we're going to be hanging out today. If you have noticed kind of a theme here, through the new year, we were talking about Christ and his birth and the resurrection and all that means. And then into the new year, we've kind of been looking at New Year's resolutions, kind of setting goals for ourselves and things like that. But if you're going to set a goal and you aren't willing to commit to the goal that you have set, what good is that goal? You've wasted your time. You've wasted your time. And so if you set a goal and you aren't willing to commit to it, it's just a waste of your time. And anybody that could be involved with that goal that you've set. Because it isn't going to happen if you are not willing to commit to it. Amen? And so this morning we're going to explore the goal or the commitment and what commitment looks like. And so we can't be successful in life, nor can we be a successful Christian without commitment. Because when we accept Christ into our lives, we are in essence committing to Christ, are we not? And so we can't be successful Christians if we are not willing to commit. And God's word reminds us that apart from him, we can do nothing. And so if we aren't willing to commit to that relationship, God's word firmly reminds us that we can do nothing apart from God. And so somewhere in there, a commitment has to be made and kept. And the same is true in our own lives. You know, we can look across the board at our own lives, and if we're going to set goals and commitments, we have to commit and stay committed. And so I hope we can identify some areas in which we can strengthen our level of commitment today. And so the difference between contribution and commitment. The difference between contribution and commitment usually means the difference in success and failure. Listen to this illustration here real quick. Kind of funny, but very true. A chicken and a hog were walking past the church building one day when they noticed the Sunday morning sermon posted on the outside bulletin board, helping the poor. They walked a ways, and chicken suddenly came across with a suggestion. "Say, Brother Hog, why don't we give the poor people a nice breakfast of ham and eggs?" The hog thought for a minute and replied, "That's all right for you to say, because it's only a contribution for you. It's a total commitment for me." And so the chicken only had to contribute to that meal. But the hog was all in. And so we can see the difference between a contribution and a commitment here. And so when we only have to commit a little bit, sometimes it really isn't much for us to do so. A contribution here and I'm on my way. A commitment here and I'm all in. And so what is a commitment? And so if you were to sit here and just kind of rationalize in your minds for just a second, what is a commitment? To each person, it means something different. It means something different to each person. However, the principle remains the same. So for the boxer, it's getting up off of the mat one more time, then you've been knocked down. To the one that runs marathons, it's running another mile when your strength is gone. To the soldier, it's going over the hill not knowing what's waiting on the other side. With reckless abandonment to self, committed to a cause. And so it looks different for everyone. We all have areas of commitment in our lives that the person next to you does not. But at the end of the day, we all have the same commitment. Because each and every one of us have, sitting here today, have committed to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so at the end of the day, we have one commitment that remains the same. A common goal. But for the missionary, saying goodbye to your own comfort to make a difference and make life better for someone else. And so to the Christian, it's all that and more because everyone is watching your life. Watching whether you get back up again. Whether you run that extra mile or more. Whether you display courage when faced with the unknown. And to die to self for the betterment of others. Because let's face it, sometimes we as Christians, when we are fully committed to the cause, we do without. And so you mothers, I think, can understand this to a certain degree as well. Because when you have a child and you love that child with no other love that nobody else understands, and when the going gets tough and the times are just demanding. Now, fathers, I'm not counting you out either because we do it as well. We go to work. We work long hours. We do things that we wouldn't typically do. But at the end of the day, mothers and fathers alike, give up comfort. They give up food. They give up other things to their children because they don't want them doing without. And that is exactly what God did for us. God sent His Son to the cross to die for you and I. Because He knew that we couldn't do it alone. He made a commitment to His children, you and I, because He knew we couldn't do it alone. And so He was willing to give up His one and only Son, to live and die on the cross so that you and I could live in eternity with Him. He loved us so much. He didn't want us to do without. So He was willing to do without. That was extra, by the way. God's good, amen? There is such a thing as partial commitment, and that leans That leans to the left with the contribution. Partial commitment. Think about it. How many of you have flown before? You've been in a big jetliner? Most of us have. When the pilot of a giant airliner is speeding down the runway, there's a certain point where he cannot decide to remain on the ground. There's a certain point where the pilot of this airliner that is hauling hundreds of souls potentially, there's a point in which in that runway he can say, I am committed to the air, not the ground. And when he crosses that line, he's committed to the air. If not, the plane crashes. The pilot can't change his mind. When the plane is two-thirds of the way down the runway, he has committed to the air. The commitment is a word that seems to be thrown around here and there. Because you can commit to somebody that you're going to come pick them up, give them a ride to work. You can commit to somebody and say, well, I'll be there. We'll share some time together. I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to be here next Sunday to share. We can commit to a lot of different things. Listen to this story, a story of commitment. A commitment of marriage. Most married people have affirmed a commitment to their spouse that goes something like this: to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. Robertson committed. Commitment in marriage was severely challenged when his wife, Morrell, contracted Alzheimer's disease. Robertson was the president of a Bible college and seminary when he was faced with a mountainous decision. He could not continue as president and take appropriate care of his wife, who at this point could only speak in phrases and words and prone to irrational behavior. She was afraid when he wasn't around. Even his most trusted and godly friends advised him to put his wife into an institution for the sake of his ministry. I'm still suffering with my sinus issues, so I apologize. So even his most entrusted and godly friends said, commit her to a facility. After all, how could he retire when things were going so well? He was only 57 years old. When the time came, his decision was firm. It was a matter of integrity. Thank you. He commented, had I not committed 42 years before, in sickness and in health, and death do us part. Later, he would go on to write about the joy and the blessings he had received as a result of the special time spent with his wife. Commitment is a foundation for success and successful Christian life. Commitment is a foundation for successful Christian life. The Lord is going to stand behind his promises. We can read over and over and over in the Bible and his promises. And every one of those promises that we read is a promise in which God has no ability not to fulfill. Because God cannot lie, And so if God says, I will, God will. He is committed to what he has said and done. Marcus, a video. There's a small video here I want you guys to watch. Some of you may have seen it.
You are the strength
It's amazing, isn't it? They did such an amazing job with that video because you and I have that commitment. And so when you're that boxer that just got knocked down one time more than you can stand, when you can't go that extra mile, when your commitment is running thin, God is coming in to save you. Because He has made a commitment to you. He has made a commitment to you. A commitment starts in the heart. Some want everything to be perfect before they're willing to commit themselves. But that's not how it works. We cannot have everything perfect before we commit. True commitment always comes before achievement. We can see that when we read the stories in the Bible. Because once the disciples have committed themselves to Christ, it wasn't peaches and cream, but they were able to go out and witness the successes in the ministry. But if they hadn't committed themselves to Christ to go out and reach others with the gospel, they never would have experienced those blessings that came along with the commitment that they were willing to make. Michael Jordan once stated, "Heart is what separates the good from the great." Commitment is always tested by action. It's one thing to talk about commitment. It's another to do something about it. I don't know. Did I mute myself? Am I off, Marcus? I don't know. There I am. It's one thing to talk about commitment. It's another thing to do something about it. It separates the doers from the dreamers. The only real measure of commitment is action. And so as Christian, you and I will face plenty of obstacles and oppositions. If you haven't already, trust me, they're coming. There will be times when commitment is the only thing that carries you forward. Because if you haven't committed yourself, it's easy to walk away. If you haven't committed yourself fully to the cause, it is easy to walk away. And there will be times when that commitment is the only thing that keeps you there. If you want to get anywhere worthwhile, you must be committed. Just like the boxer, if he wants to win the title, or the person that runs the marathon, if they want to win that marathon, they have to be committed to finishing the race. Just like you and I have to be committed. The Bible tells us that we are to endure to the end. We are to commit and run the race. We are to fully commit. When it comes to commitment, there are really only four types of people. Cop-outs. People who have no goals and are not willing to commit. Holdouts. People who don't know if they can reach their goals, so they're afraid to commit. Dropouts. People who start toward a goal but quit when the going gets tough. All-outs. People who set goals, commit to them, and pay the price to reach them. And so you might be thinking, how do I improve my level of commitment? Measure it, first of all. measure your level of commitment. Because you're the only one that can do that. Because we are all committed to something different. And so measure your level of commitment. If you weren't going to commit, or excuse me, if you weren't going to complete the goal in which you set out, how would you feel about it? That's one way of measuring your level of commitment. If you weren't to complete it, would it bother you? So we may truly believe we are committed Christians, yet our actions often indicate otherwise. They often indicate otherwise. So spend some time tallying up how you spend your time, where you spend your money. Look at how much time you spend at work and family and health, recreation, activities, and so forth. Measure your level of commitment all around. And then I would encourage you to go one step further. Measure your level of commitment to God and the church. And put it on the scale. And see where it ends up. Because growing up, often Tracy put the boys up here. And Tracy and I had many arguments over the years about the boys and discipline. As such, probably so did you and your family. But at the point, I think her and I both realized at some stage in our relationship, I would say more as we committed to God, our relationship, both our marriage and our lives as a whole to God, we both came to the understanding, I believe, that God was number one and all else falls in behind. And if you do that, first of all, God will bless you for it. Because God is number one. He expects nothing less. He expects nothing less. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. Kind of measure what's going on in your life and then take it one step further and then measure your commitment to God and the church and that. And put it on a scale and see where you end up. Because I will encourage you most definitely to put God at the top. And all else will fall in behind that, I assure you of that. And so all of these are true measurements of commitment. You may be surprised at what you find. And maybe there's room for commitment change there. And so the question is asked, is there anything more beautiful in life than a boy and a girl clasping hands, pure hearts in the path of marriage? It's a beautiful thing. We could even throw the newborn birth of a child in there. Is there anything more beautiful? And I would say yes, and here's why. It is the spectacle of an old man and an old woman finishing their journey together on the path. Their hands are gnarled and clasped from the trials of life. Their faces are seamed but still radiant. Their hearts are tired and bowed but still strong. They have proved the happiness of marriage and have stood in the steadfast commitment despite the opposition they faced. Know what's worth dying for. There are commitments to be made in our lives that are worth all or nothing. So as you grow and explore your relationship with God, you will find that there are commitments to be made in life that are worth committing all and dying for. Now, I'm not talking a physical death. That's not what I'm talking about. Because the Bible tells us that we are to die to ourselves. And so that means, to me, that means that there are some days that I have to put my side to the side. I'm getting it out. There are times when I have to put myself to the side and I have to put others before me. And there's times in your life that you're going to have to do the same thing. But at no point in your life are you to put anything in the place, number one, above God. At no point. And so one of the questions that every Christian should ask themselves, what am I willing to die for? If it came down to it, what in life would you not be able to stop doing no matter the consequences? No matter the consequences. And so I would encourage you to spend some time alone and think about that. Meditate on it a little bit. Take some time to measure your life and your level of commitment to everything. Spend some time thinking about that over the next week. And then seek God. Seek God and say, God knows it all anyway. He knows your level of commitment. Say, God, here's my level of commitment. You're already aware where I stand. How can I change? So lay it out there before God. Maybe write it down, share it with a friend, and see if it matches your Christian ideals after you've taken some time to think about it, meditate about it, pray about it, and see where you are. And so I want to close with this. Has anybody ever heard the Edison method? I hadn't until I was preparing, but I like it. I like it. So if taking the first step toward commitment is a problem, try and do what Thomas Edison did. When he had a good idea for an invention, he would call a conference and announce it. Now, I'm not saying you have to call a mob of people in, but I would say make some people in your sphere of influence aware of it. Okay? And so make people aware of it. Announce it to them. Then he'd go into his lab and invent it. And so make your plans public is what I'm trying to say. Make your plans public, and you might be more committed to following through with them. Because if you have a group of people that are willing to come alongside you, much like we have here. And so, if you have a level of commitment that you want to take to the next level, you don't have to share it with everybody. But you might share it with one or two or three or four. And say, hey, I've got this level of commitment that needs to go one step further. And so make somebody aware of it. Yeah. Make somebody aware of it, and that way it's out in the open, and somebody can say, hey, how's it going? You making any progress? So put it out there. Help others help you. That's what we're here for. Amen? Well, how about we stand and we pray ourselves out? Father, thank you so much for the level of commitment that you were willing to make to us. And so as we take some time to meditate and pray over our level of commitment to you and the church as a whole, Father, I pray that you will continue to move and work in our lives, Father. Bring to light the changes in commitment that we need to make. Father, because if we set a goal in our life, we want to be committed to it and follow through and run the race to the end. And so we just pray that you will continue to move and work in our lives. Father, help us continue to grow. Father, place a desire, a strong desire within our hearts, within our minds. Father, that will draw us closer to you. Father, you were willing to make the commitment to us so that we could share eternity with you. And so as we look for ways to level up our commitment, Father, we just pray that you will pave the way. Though there may be obstacles, Father, we can endure all because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so, Father, we're drawing on that strength and encouragement today as we look for ways to level up our commitment. And so, Father, as we prepare to end our time together, we just pray that you will go before us. Father, bless us. May your face shine upon us. And, Father, may we look for ways to be a blessing to others as we're blessed by you. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. And I pray that all things done will glorify your name and your kingdom, Father. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us.